7 minutes past 9 o'clock. Phil Minnickin for John Records Landecker on 720 WGN. We're talking with head brewer at 1090 Brewing Company. They're at 1025 North Waukegan Road in Glenview. Gibbs LePay. Gibbs, welcome to WGN. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm good. I got to start with the name. What does 1090 mean?
1090 refers to the original gravity of our first four beers. They all had an original gravity of 1.090, so 1090, what we call it in the industry.
And 1090 has been open how long?
We've been around for about 7 years.
Okay. And in the beginning, when you guys first opened, you had no kitchen.
We had no kitchen when we first opened our tap room. It was just the tap room.
No food whatsoever. How was that?
That was rough. We relied on food trucks to bring food in for us, which were unfortunately unreliable.
Okay. But now you guys have a full kitchen.
We've got pizza. We've got sandwiches. We've got taco meals. We've got everything.
The tachos. I love the tater tot nachos.
Yes.
I've had those.
Those are fantastic, aren't they?
Oh, they're the best. I remember there was a time where you guys kind of did baby steps and you had frozen pizzas and you were cooking up frozen pizzas. That was awesome.
Yep. Yeah, we tried frozen pizzas because we needed to have food.
Right.
And we wanted to stay open later, and so we needed some food. We tried frozen pizza, but we found that making our own pizzas ourselves was a much better route.
Yeah. So you guys have a tent now, right?
Yes, we do.
Talk to me about the tent. Has it worked for you?
Oh, absolutely. We got heaters inside the tent. It's nice and cozy in there. Lots of table space with lots of space between the tables as well.
Got it. Do you guys do curbside at all? I mean, that's worked for you before. You guys did carry out with the growlers, right?
We also do curbside and we do delivery.
Now, do you use your own people for that or do you use a service for the delivery?
We use our own people.
Let's talk about the beers. I'm looking at this beer menu, and I'm looking at the high octane end. Wow, dude.
Yeah, we've got a number of high gravity or high alcohol beers. Our first four beers that we made were all high gravity, 10, 11%.
Okay.
And we've continued on with that trend. We also have a number of low gravity beers or regular alcohol beers, 4, 5, 6%.
Right. Now, you mentioned high gravity. I'm not familiar with the term. What does that mean exactly?
The gravity is basically how much fermentable sugar there is in the beer before we start to ferment the sugar. So the higher the gravity, the more fermentable sugar.
Okay. And the higher the octane, so to speak.
And the higher the octane of the beer, correct.
What's your favorite?
Ooh, they're all my favorite. They're all my babies, so they're all my favorites. Right now I'm drinking a 1916, our Pilsen Lager.
Okay. I would imagine it's pretty hoppy.
Actually, this one we call it, our little inside joke is sex in a canoe because it's awfully close to water.
That joke is an oldie but a goodie, right?
It is an oldie but a goodie, yes.
So the cool thing about all this, if there is such a cool thing, is that you guys were kind of poised for what you have to deal with now as far as the takeout and as far as... You know, your growler situation was really, really successful before this, and I'm imagining it just kind of grew with the pandemic, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And people are ordering out food to go with it because they know they can do a one-stop thing, so that's got to be really good, right?
People seem to be very happy. We have a lot of repeat customers, a lot of regulars who stop in a few times a week.
So you really didn't need to reinvent yourself for this, right?
Not much. The big surprise for us was how much we'd be canning our beer. We changed from bottles to cans before the pandemic, and during it, we found that we're canning a significant amount compared to what we were canning before.
Why was that? Why did you go from bottles to cans?
Consumer wants the cans. They're easier to use. They're more friendly in general. You can take them to a beach. You can take them to a golf course.
Right.
They handle the beer better.
They do. That was my next question, because sometimes it has that tinny flavor. Not so much, though, right?
No, not so much. Not in our cans.
At the beginning of the pandemic, did you guys get any help from the government? Did you apply for that, the PPP loan?
We did.
You did, and you got that.
Yes.
And that helped you keep people on for a longer period of time, keep the lights on, that kind of thing, right?
Indeed. We would love to offer the listeners a 10% discount if they come on in and they just mention that they heard me on the radio, and we'll give them 10% off their order.
Wow. We're talking with Gibbs LePay. He is the head brewer at 1090 Brewing Company. You're on Waukegan Road, 1025 North Waukegan Road in Glenview, just north of Golf Road. You're on the east side of the street, and there's a tent in the parking lot. You can't miss that, right?
No, can't miss the tent.
You mentioned that the tent has been successful, and you see that continuing, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, do you have TVs out there?
We do not have TVs outside in the tents, but we do have trivia every Wednesday outside.
And that's been going pretty well, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What makes your place unique? But it's just the consistency, I would imagine, right?
The beers have a tremendous consistency. The food is always fantastic. Shout out to our executive chef, Raul. He does a fantastic job.
What do you see the future for 1090?
I see us growing and continuing to put out fantastic beers.
You've got how many on tap now?
We've got 20 tap handles.
And that's grown from the beginning, right?
Yep, that has grown from the beginning. When we opened, we probably had 10 on tap. We certainly didn't have all our tap handles full when we opened.
Thanks for that offer, too. 10% off if you mention that you heard Gibbs on WGN. Gibbs LePay, the best success for you guys and the whole crew there in 2021. 1090 Brewing Company in Glenview on Waukegan Road. Gibbs, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And again, the best of everything in 2021 to you and yours, Gibbs. Thank you.
Thanks, you too. This was great. Cheers.
Cheers, Gibbs. So we spoke with a brewer. We've got a co-owner next as our look at small businesses continue here at 720 WGN. 917. Phil Manikian for John Electric Records, Landecker here at 720 WGN. Joining us from Skokie, the Village Inn Pizzeria Sports Bar and Grill at 8050 Lincoln Avenue, it's Desi Mowing Bayan. Des, thanks so much for joining us tonight on WGN.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
You are welcome. Now, I have been there a couple of times at the Village. And
just a couple.
Yeah. Let's give the folks who may not know about you guys just a little bit of history. It's been around as the Village Inn for how long?
Since 1990, so we are on our 30th year this year.
And before that?
It was briefly a restaurant called Timoni's, probably for a few months. And prior to that, I believe since the 60s or 50s, it was Alberti's.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been cornerstone of Skokie for quite some time.
Did you guys have to reinvent yourself with the whole pandemic thing?
Well, we kind of got lucky because we have an established carryout. So during the 3 months shelter in place, we were quite busy because we were one of the few places that were open and could handle that kind of volume. And moving forward, as rules were loosening up, or, you know, it's a very fluid situation. So whenever they came out with whatever guidelines, you know, we were able to react. So we did have a patio over the summer that was great. As it got cooler, we introduced a tent, and that worked out during the fall. But with the rules set forth by Skokie's health department, because we have our own health department, we had to have two door size openings for airflow. And obviously we want to follow the rules. We want to stick to the guidelines that they put in place. And unfortunately, when it gets to 40 degrees or below, I mean, imagine like right now opening a window in your house and your house is 75 degrees. Wherever you open that window, it's going to be cold.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, same idea with the tent. Fortunately, heat rises. We did have forced air, and that air was that propane tank, that 100-pound propane tank, was costing us about $100 every 2 days, and heat rises. So the top of the tent was, I'm sure, comfortable, but where your feet was and where the tables were, unfortunately, it was just too cold, in my opinion.
Right, agreed. Like you mentioned, you guys were in kind of a unique situation where, I mean, your customer base is loyal people because your product is so good. You know what you're going to get. You know the pizza is going to be phenomenal. So a lot of return business, a lot of regulars, and they undoubtedly helped you through this, right?
Absolutely. Our community has been great. Our customers and neighbors have been very supportive of small business. And the thing is, like, we have a wide variety of customers, from 20-somethings to the older crowd. And it's obvious the older crowd wants to stay in. They want to follow the guidelines that are set in place, and they're obviously worried about their health. So they've been ordering out often, and, you know, they do order from us and support us. You know, unfortunately, I get it. Other businesses have, you know, decisions they have to make, and whether they open up inside or do their own thing to make revenue, you know, that's what they got to do. But for us, you know, we've always said that, you know, we want to be here in the long run, and we want you to be here too.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a motto we're trying to follow. So, you know, when the latest shelter in place or the stay at home advisory came out, you know, we supported it by shutting down our indoors and just doing carry out and delivery.
What did that do to your staff? I mean, you had to cut staff, right, to keep the lights on.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, we've had to furlough some employees, like our bartenders, unfortunately, weren't able to work. We just had no bar. Some of our wait staff, we provided them with hours to work so they could make some money. Some of them are working carryouts. Some of them are doing deliveries because, like I said, our carryout's been fairly active during this time. Mm-hmm. And the high school kids and the younger kids that are working for us, you know, up front and carryout, unfortunately, they're getting the butt end of the stick because most of them live at home. They don't have the responsibilities that, you know, the other staff has, whether right. it be mortgages, rent, families to support. So everyone understands, and we're trying to help everyone out in this situation because, I mean, it's a bizarre situation. It's tough. It's tough for everybody.
And no one has ever done this before. I mean, you know.
Not that I'm aware of.
Right.
But, I mean, it's definitely a learning experience for everybody. You know, if we had to do it again, would we make changes? I don't know. You know, it all depends.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's such a fluid situation. Every day is constantly changing. You know, we're able to, I mean, our accountant said, you know, we'll make it through the winter. You know, but obviously we can't sustain this. We just have too much overhead.
Right. Did you get help from the government? Did you have a PPP loan?
Yes, eventually. Unfortunately, our previous business partner had gone to the news and kind of put our bank on Front Street because we didn't get a PPP loan from them, and we had to go through another avenue. But we eventually did get one.
Got it. So, and that helped a little bit, right?
Oh, it actually helped out a lot. We were able to pay our employees, even though business wasn't great, but we were able to provide them with hours to work. And we were able to do some remodeling within the house on the behind the bar and on the dining room floor that will help us in the future.
Right. Something that I think people know about, but it's important for, I think, everyone to really realize, most of your bartenders and waitresses, they depend on tips. That's what gets them through. And that's why they're so good at what they do. And when you take away people, there ain't no tips. So,
yes.
Everyone.
I mean, as you know, our staff does fairly well. I mean, we have a great service staff. I mean, our bartenders are fantastic. Some of them have been around for years.
Right.
As much as they take care of our customers take care of them. And it holds true during the carry-on delivery phase because our customers have been really supporting with tips for our carry-out staff and have been taking care of the drivers.
Right.
And our drivers are doing fairly well during this time, and they did fairly well during the 3-month shelter in place. So, like I said, our community's been awesome supporting local business.
I was really impressed with the way you had the curbside set up, where I think the village helped you there a little bit with blocking off the street where cars normally would park. There were no parking places, and cars would just pull up. You'd know when they were there. You'd bring out the food, and it was pretty much like clockwork, right?
Oh, yeah. The village was great. Actually, during the fall time when we had the patio, they allowed us to expand our patio to add a couple more tables.
Right.
While
right.
respecting the 6-foot rule. And when we had the tent up, it actually came out into the street. So the village was great with that. And then because the tent was in our loading area and the patio was also in our loading area, they allowed us to kind of put signs up on the other side of the street that this is for curbside pickup. And a lot of our customers respected that. And people would come in and call us, and we'd bring the food out to them. Like I said, it was a very fluid situation. So the company that supports our POSI terminal, which is our basically our computerized registers.
Okay.
They came out with mobile credit card machines, so we were able to bring out a reader out to the car where you can pay right at your car and leave a tip if you wanted to and move on from there without ever having to leave the car. So our staff was also very good with wearing gloves, masks. So we followed every rule that was, or every guideline that was put in place.
Is everyone doing that, knowing the answer to the question?
I would like to believe yes, but I know the answer is no. And like I said, businesses have choices to make.
Right.
And whether it be opening up inside and not adhering to proper face mask coverings or temperature readings or 6 feet social distancing, I know places that are open within the area that the tables aren't 6 feet apart, the bar is wide open, so you're sitting right next to a stranger, and which promotes mingling, which I think is the wrong thing to do.
Right.
But like I said, business owners have decisions to make. I mean, people have to put food on the table. People have to make it through this. They have to make money. I get it.
Right. But the bar business itself is, I'm going to say this delicately, I guess, when, you know, you have a few, you tend to let your guard down and you may not make the best decisions and you may not be worrying about social distancing and all that stuff. So, I mean, you guys are in a really, really tight space with that as far as, you know, leniency. And can you afford to get fined? You know, so you got to worry about that.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we followed the guidelines that were set in place. Really, we can't afford the fines. I don't want to know what the fines are. I don't want to get the bad reputation either.
Right.
Like I said, a lot of our customer base is on the older side, so they tend to follow the guidelines as well. I mean, when we opened up the inside finally over the summer, when they allowed us to open indoor dining, it was pretty empty inside still.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have tables here and there, but people were scared to come inside. They would rather sit on the patio with the open air.
Right.
So, like I said, we just want to follow what the guidelines are. And you look at other places, and I don't think they're following them.
Right.
But, you know, like we always said, you know, we want to be here in the long run, and we want people to be here, you guys to be here too. Unfortunately, we've had customers that passed away from COVID that I've heard and read about.
Yeah. We're talking with Desi Mullingbion of the Village Inn Pizzeria Sports Bar and Grill in Skokie. We're talking about delivery before. You guys were really, really good in that. Have you expanded your delivery zone because of this?
Yes and no. So we didn't expand our actual delivery zone per se, because we only can guarantee the freshness of our food to a certain point.
Sure.
Okay, if you go too far, pizza might be cold, yada, yada, yada. But we have taken on more online vendors, which will go beyond our delivery area.
Got
so
it.
If someone was outside our delivery area, they could use Uber Eats.
Okay.
Or someone else and have their food brought to them if they're outside our delivery area.
Got it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. And it's so important to support your local businesses, your small business owners. You know, these guys are hurting right now, and they need all our help. And if we can do it, there's kind of an idea of eating out, you know, once a week, you know, supporting you guys and maybe spreading it around a little bit, because people are hurting and we got to help, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to bring up, on Mondays, we used to do a meal matching event where every pizza we sold, we matched with a personal pizza to the staff of a local hospital. And that was a nice promotion for us, because people really wanted to help out with the local hospitals and first responders. And we did very well on Mondays. And like I said, the community has been awesome all week long with supporting our business as well as other Skokie businesses.
Absolutely. Good to hear. Co-owner of the Village Inn Pizzeria Sports Bar and Grill on Lincoln Avenue in Skokie, just north of Oakton, Desi Mullingbion. Desi, thank you so much for joining us, and continued success and all the best in 2021, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the interview, and I hope to have a beer with you sometime soon.
Deal. All right. Thank you, Des. Up next, we're going to get an executive chef's perspective on the pandemic. That's after this update from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. 935. Phil Minicky in for John Records, Landecker here at 720 WGN. He is the executive chef at Aris Brewery and Cider House. They're at 4240 West Irving Park Road on the north side of Chicago. Bryant Anderson. Bryant, thank you for joining us on WGN. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well today, Phil. How are you?
I am fantastic. I am so excited to talk to you. I've been to Aris Brewery and Cider House, and it is just a phenomenal building. First of all, let's talk about the name. Why Aris? What is that?
So Aris is a woman-owned and operated cidery and brew house on the north side of Chicago, owned by Michelle Foyk and Katie Pizza. And they went with that name because Aris is the goddess of chaos. And it's a perfect name for a super cool operation run by two awesome ladies.
That is cool. I love that. And the building used to be a Masonic temple?
Yeah, correct. It was built well over 100 years ago, like around between 1910 and 1920. So a lot of history, a lot of cool old brick and exposed beams. And they put a lot of work into this building to, you know, rehab it, refurbish it, and make it the awesome establishment it is today.
And you guys have been open since, what, 2018, right?
Yeah, February of 2018. So we're going on 3 years here.
Okay. And there was a massive reconstruction of everything. And you showed me some of the ornamentation, and it was basically old, like, heaters?
Yeah, there's a lot of reclaimed and repurposed material in this building. Specifically, the old heaters and furnaces that were in the walls were all made out of these cool cast iron molds. So we repurposed all those for railings, for the balconies, for the staircases. Yeah, they're all super cool and really unique.
It's very, very impressive. After it was the Masonic Temple, it was a church for a while, right?
It was a Korean church for a long time. And then after the Korean church sold it, it sat vacant for a while. But yeah, it operated as the Masonic Temple and then a Korean church for over 100 years.
And in the main dining room, there are huge pews when it was a church, right?
Yeah, it was repurposed materials to form those awesome, cool booths that in better times can accommodate up to a party of 14.
Right. Well, let's get into that, the elephant in the room. How have you guys survived? What have you done differently to maintain whatever you could during the pandemic? What was your plan? What did you do? What worked?
Well, you know, in late February, early March, when all this was coming to a head, we didn't really know, just like anybody else or any other small business operator, we didn't know where we were going to go strategically to maintain any sort of business. We didn't know what was going to happen. So we closed for a few weeks completely in late March, reopened in early April, pivoted all of our resources into carryout business, which prior to the pandemic, carryout business accounted for less than 5% of our regular business. So we were not the type of restaurant that did carry out extensively at all. You know, occasionally you get an order, but I mean, so we went from full dining room service to full carry out operations. It was quite a transition for our staff, the managers, the kitchen crew, everybody, because it's a different type of operation when you're doing just carry out as opposed to, you know, regular dining room service. And we did that for a number of weeks. And then when the mayor and the governor allowed us to open up the outdoor dining, that was a huge godsend for us. I mean, we could seat a lot of people outside, and then it was kind of back to normal there for the summer. You know, we couldn't have anybody inside, but we have a massive patio outside. So we still were able to welcome back all of our guests, welcome back in new guests. And then, you know, the summer rolled along pretty smoothly. And then, you know, the winter hits, and now the patio is pretty much obsolete again, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know. I've seen the patio, and you guys put a lot of money into it, and there are heaters out there that are just phenomenal. What does the patio hold?
Yeah, we closed our parking lot to cars, and we got a permit to extend our patio seating to the edge of our property. So we took our regular patio seating up from about 50 to well over 100. So we could accommodate a lot of people out there. And thank you for noticing the heaters. They were a solid investment. They are very warm. They keep you very toasty underneath our, you know, handmade pergola. You know, it really enhances the experience out there. And the guests have noticed that, and they've been very thankful for the heaters.
Yeah, it's a definite option where you think it might not be, but it really is. You need to check it out for yourself, and you make the decision. That's what I would encourage you. Curbside, that really didn't work for you guys, right?
Curbside is tricky, you know, like, because you're running food out to the cars. You know, I fully support curbside service. You know, it works for a lot of establishments. It was a little trickier for us. Again, like, we weren't set up for that type of operation prior to this all happening. So, like, as silly as it might sound to a regular person, like, oh, just pivot to curbside service. Like, it's quite a transition for staff and crew and an operation that's not set up for that. So, you know, we did it successfully for a few weeks there through April and May, but man, it was tricky.
Yeah. It works easier for other people and who have normal carry out, where you guys didn't do carry out at all, right?
No, we accounted for very little of our business pre-pandemic, and you know, we attempted to do delivery for some of those weeks back in April and May, and
right.
I mean that was tricky because a pizza place or like a Chinese restaurant that is used to having a delivery driver, and you know they know the ins and outs of that operation of having a driver, paying for the insurance, being accountable, being liable, all that, you know, brings a lot of extra factors into play. So it was, those are hard months. We look back on that era, we call it the to-go era because it was such, it like exists in its own little bubble. Like early April through the end of May, we just refer to it as a to-go era. And it's like dark times.
right. Well, you really have to reinvent yourself and find out your strengths and weaknesses. What would you say your strength is?
Man, here at Aris, it's the strength of the ownership. They are so positive and they are so strong. The Michelle Foyk and Katie Pizza. And I mean, they keep this operation running. They're the heart and soul of this. They've been in this game for a long time. And I mean, they are and continue to be so incredibly supportive with, you know, making sure the staff is here. We're getting paid, we're getting hours. You know, we have the product to do our jobs. We're able to provide our wonderful homemade cider and beer and food to our guests. And I mean, they've just been the lifeblood to keep this place going.
That's gotta be a bonus, right?
Yeah, working for ownership of a small business who truly like and wholeheartedly care about their employees. I mean, it could not have been more fulfilling during these incredibly difficult times where hours were slashed, you know, pay cuts were slashed. I mean, everything was just bad. And those two ladies, they kept us going.
That's cool. We're talking with Executive Chef Bryant Anderson of Aris Brewery and Cider House. The address is 4240 West Irving Park Road in the old Irving Park neighborhood. It's just west of the Kennedy Expressway. And you've got neighbors that are breweries as well, correct?
Yeah. Oh, up here on the north side, I mean, they've really like popped up over the last, I'd say, 5 to 7 years. But particularly there's one called OIB, Old Irving Brewery. They're just around the corner from us over on Montrose. They're good friends with Michelle and Katie. You know, we share ingredients back and forth. They're a solid crew. They're brewmasters. No, our brewmaster, Joe Flores. Yeah, a lot of neighborhood camaraderie. We've also done some events here with other local breweries, Lake Effect Brewery, Alarmist Brewing. So, yeah, they're all the like Northside Brewery family.
And you guys had like a little competition going, right?
Oh, we did, yeah. Back in September when we could have limited indoor seating, we hosted a very successful, socially distant, smoked brisket cook-off between ourselves, Aris, Old Irving Brewery, Alarmist Brewing, and Lake Effect Brewery, and it was wildly successful. We sold 50 tickets pre-sale, and, you know, and we have a benefit of a massive dining room here with a lot of space. We're able to seat everyone comfortably far apart, and it was a pre-sale, went really well for the purchase price. The customer got beers from all the breweries, ciders from us. They got brisket samples from all the breweries involved. They got to vote upon the one that they thought was the best. I mean, it was a great time during a pandemic to be a socially distant festival, remind people kind of what the semblance of what a summer festival, you know, would have been like during 2020. So yeah, the guests were incredibly grateful to have an opportunity like this.
Just a breath of normalcy, so to speak, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then every single person stopped Michelle and Katie, the owners, and thanked them for the operation. Literally every person on the way out was like, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this.
That is cool. That had to feel so good, right?
It did. Yeah. And then for us, like too, in the kitchen, like, you know, my kitchen crew, these guys are professionals. They've been doing this a long time. Like, they thrive in insane kitchen situations where the printer's going off and the customers keep coming in. There's a line out the door. Like, that's what keeps us going. Like, the slower days, it's actually harder to keep motivated. So to have a day like that where the place was, you know, packed to the capacity that was allowed by the city, and to be full and to have it lively and music playing, like, it was great for everybody. The kitchen crew loved it. The staff loved it. The guests loved it. It was, like you said, it was a sense of normalcy for a brief moment.
That's cool. We got to find out the results. I want to know who won. I want to know details, and we're going to do that next. We're with Executive Chef of Aris Brewery and Cider House in Chicago, Bryant Anderson. More next here at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Phil Menicki in for John Records Landecker, speaking with executive chef of Aris Brewery and Cider House, Bryant Anderson. So you do this brisket fest, this challenge, this competition, and I know this about you. You are a very, very good chef.
Thank you.
Incredible food. And you're just a little bit competitive. How did it turn out? Who won?
Just a little bit. You know, I've competed at quite a few festivals in the past, of which, you know, you've been the guest at many times.
And won them, by the way.
Yes, multiple times. Just thank you for that. I appreciate it. Yeah, this festival was called the E2B2. It was the Aris Eruption Brisket Bonanza, which I just want to say will be coming back in the spring and again in the fall with different iterations, whether it be a vegan version of it or a different smoked meat. It will be returning once indoor dining return. So just putting that out there. Yeah, it was great. It was a wonderful, wholehearted competition. But you asked who won. Surprisingly enough, it was a tie between myself and Chef Nick from Old Irving Brewery. He did a fantastic brisket sandwich. I did my hickory smoked brisket sandwich. It was great. We had WWE style championship belt that we shared and we took a bunch of pictures with. The guests were taking pictures with it. It was fantastic.
Now, was there anything off the top rope mentioning WWE? Were there fisticuffs involved?
No. There was a lot of trash talking, especially beforehand, like online, just people posting pictures of them smoking their meat. So you got to get some good ribbing in there, some good fun trash talking, but no fisticuffs.
All right. Maybe next time.
Yeah, we'll get a ring in the parking lot outside.
There you go. Going back to the darker moments of the pandemic, you guys got help from the government, right? As a lot of small businesses did?
Yeah, we did we applied for and received the PPP loan back when that was first enacted through the CARES Act. And it was extremely helpful. We had it, you know, for 8 weeks, and then all that kind of fizzled out and hasn't been that much help since then. There have been a number of grants separate from the CARES Act that the ownership was able to apply for. Mm-hmm. And that ranged from local government up to, you know, just Illinois Restaurant Association grants. Guy Fieri was doing a grant program. So there were other helpful scenarios out there. We didn't get a lot of them. A lot of companies didn't get a lot of them because the money was so minimal. But yeah, there wasn't all that much assistance beyond the PPP loan, unfortunately.
All right. Stupid question of the night from Phil. Could you use more help? Duh.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, it appears to have just been enacted the new round of small business relief. So let's hope that actually comes to fruition, because January and February, with the lack of any indoor dining, and let's be realistic, Phil, nobody's sitting outside when it's 0 degrees, heaters or no heaters. Like, a Chicago winter is not conducive to outdoor dining.
Right.
So if they don't add in, like, let's say if the mayor or the governor allowed 10% indoor dining, I mean, that would be such a boost to our revenue stream that we just don't have right now, because we're going from doing big bucks on the weekends to barely scraping by.
Right. A kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. The positivity rate of late has been around in the 7% mark. I think it's public knowledge that the next step as far as opening up is a consistent, you know, reading right around the 4% positivity level. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's what Governor Pritzker had said back, you know, like May and June. And, you know, when they first reopened indoor dining, the positivity rate was below 4%, and they allowed indoor dining. Then was it like late October, early November is when it started really going up above the 4% range, is when they closed indoor dining again. And it has been for the last couple of weeks trending downward. Let's see if there's another big surge after all these Christmas gatherings. But
right.
Yeah, like Governor Pritzker, he always said that phase five is when dining rooms would reopen fully, and that would require a vaccine for everybody. So maybe that's around the corner.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm speaking for a lot of people where we're not going to hold our breath with that. When it comes, and when it happens, it happens. But, you know, in the meantime, you guys went from, I don't know if we really touched on it in the beginning, you guys make everything in-house. All the beers, all the ciders, you make it right there. That's incredible.
Yeah, we ferment all of our own hard cider. We brew all of our own beer. The cider is really what we're known for. We got our Van Van Mojo. We have our Pedestrian Cider, our Blush. We just did a wonderful barrel aids collaboration with CH Distillery. It's called Apfelort. It was a Malort barrel aged cider that we did. It was available in 750 milliliter bottles, pre-sale only, sold out in one day.
No, really?
It sold so quickly. Yeah, we as the employees, we were upset. We wanted some for ourselves, and sure, we couldn't even get it. And then we've got a wonderful pumpkin cider that we brewed, that we fermented back in October called the Great Pumpkin. So, yeah, it's great here. The brewmaster, Joe Flores, and the owners, Michelle and Katie, do a fantastic job with coming up with creative, cool flavors for the cider and different types of beer we can brew. And, you know, we just started distribution on our ciders, too, so we're hoping that that continues to blossom for us.
How did that come about? I mean, it was out of necessity because you guys had to keep the lights on and everything. How did that come about, that transformation from basically serving from taps in your establishment?
Yeah, to pretty much to doing distribution then. Yeah, like we had never really considered it doing distribution across citywide liquor stores. You know, it's always like a question everybody asks, when are you going to distribute? It takes a lot of work. It's an upfront investment. You really need to consider if you're going to reap the rewards for it. So you have to buy a canning line. You have to get all of your necessary, you know, like city requirements in order, all of your paperwork, your distribution contracts. You know, then you have to find the actual liquor stores that are going to carry you, and, you know, think about revenues down all across everything across the city. So people aren't spending as much money, which means our liquor store is going to want to bring a new product. Our grocery store is going to want to stock their shelves a new product that is not necessarily anything someone might have heard of or not. So it was definitely done out of necessity, and thankfully it has blossomed and it has, you know, produced a decent amount of revenue. We're not quite to the level we're gonna be at eventually, but things are moving in the right direction.
But you have to adapt. You had to adapt, and you guys did, and that's just amazing.
Yeah, we definitely had to adapt. Like that canning line was a nice investment up front, but it has definitely paid for itself. And yeah, we had to, because we're sitting on tanks of cider and beer, and if we don't distribute it, what are we going to do with it? We can't let it go bad. That's money literally going down the drain. So
right.
With lack of indoor dining and lack of people on the patio when this first happened, like distribution was the next move. And so it definitely ramped up what would have happened eventually, all of a sudden moved to the forefront immediately because of the pandemic.
Sure. I hope whoever came up with that idea got maybe a little pat on the back or a little something extra, right?
He most certainly did, yes.
All right, you mentioned this Malort thing before. I just can't let this go. Malort, it's just so popular. It's so, can you explain it?
No, I can't, Phil, because I think Malort's disgusting. It tastes horrible. But it exists in this zone where, like, some people drink it because it's disgusting.
Right.
And some people truly say they like it, and I just don't believe them. I think they're just trying to be cool. Or it's like a challenge shot. Like, you know, your buddy comes in from out of town, and you go to the local bar, you buy a shot of Malort, you know, you tell him it's vodka, and then he shoots it, and he, you know, it makes a terrible cringe face. It's more of almost like an initiation into Chicago drinking.
Right.
But that being said, it is very popular, it's very well known, especially in Chicago. So the distillery, CH Distillery, gave us one of their barrels that they aged their Malort in, and we filled it with our cider and then let the magic happen inside the barrel, sit there for a year, and then we extracted our cider out of it. And again, it was called Apfelort. Hopefully we will have it again, but it was this beautiful cider with this amazing kind of Malorty overness. So like everything that tastes bad about Malort was negated, and everything that is enjoyable about Malort came through. Prior to the barrel being a Malort barrel, it was a rum barrel. So there were both rum notes and Malort notes in our cider. It was great.
Wow. So no hairspray or NyQuil flavoring in there at all, right?
No. It didn't taste like that at all. It was wonderfully refreshing.
Very cool. We're talking with Brian Anderson, executive chef at Aris Brewery and Cider House in Chicago, the old Irving Park neighborhood of Chicago, just west of the Kennedy Expressway on Irving Park Road. Got to wrap things up here. As a chef and as an award-winning chef that you just turn out incredible product, what is the menu item that you're proudest of at Aris?
Oh, man, that's like asking somebody, like, who's their favorite kid, you know, their son or their daughter. It's a little tricky. These are all my creations here, and thankfully the owners, Michelle and Katie, have allowed me to, you know, make the menu my own. Obviously, there was a menu when I took over the restaurant, but I've since made it my own and put my spin on everything. I don't know if I can narrow it down to any one particular item, but we have an amazing burger. We were featured on Chicago's Best for our wonderful burger. We buy a specific patty with a blend of brisket, short rib and chuck in there, so it's a wonderful high fat, high flavor patty. We put a beautiful caramelized bacon jam on top, some melted cheddar cheese. So we have a wonderful burger. We've also got amazing fried chicken. I know fried chicken is kind of popular and hot right now, but we have a wonderful fried chicken sandwich with homemade Nashville spicy sauce on it. And you pair that with one of our ciders or beers, and I mean, it's wonderful. Again, you kind of forget that all this is going on when you take a bite of that sandwich and a sip of our cider. It's great.
Sounds great. Executive Chef Brian Anderson, Aris Brewery and Cider House, thank you so much for joining. And the best of everything in 2021 for you and yours and the whole establishment. And we'll see you soon, right?
Thank you, Phil. Greatly appreciate the time.
That's about all the time we have tonight. Thank you again, Brian, for joining us. Man, we learned a lot tonight. A lot of ground covered. We learned about Malort Cider. Are you kidding me? From Chef Bryant at Aris Brewery and Cider House. It's at 4240 West Irving Park Road, the old Irving Park neighborhood in the north side of Chicago. They have distribution, by the way, at Binney's and Whole Foods for their ciders. We also learned the importance of a solid carryout program. That from Dez at the Village Inn in Skokie, 8050 Lincoln Avenue in Skokie, just north of Oakton. And the change to canning from bottling beer, that at 1090 in Glenview. They're at 1025 North Waukegan Road, just off Glenview Road. That from Gibbs LePay. Oh, don't forget your 10% off at 1090 Brewing. Mention that you heard Gibbs on WGN. They'll take care of that for you. Thanks also to our guests tonight, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. We found out that Thief is his favorite Chicago movie, a very, very good choice, as well as other things about what's going to happen in the future and some 2021 releases, the best of 2020. A big fan of Quentin Tarantino as well. Also, a big thanks to astrologer Ann Nordhaus Bike. Ann joined us live in studio this evening. That was real special. Thanks to all your great phone calls tonight as well. And according to Ann, watch out for Uranus, folks. That's the adult way of pronouncing U-R-A-N-U-S, Uranus. So it's like sticking your finger in a light socket. I love that quote. Be aware. Thanks to our producer, Ben Anderson, tonight. Fantastic job. Also, Krista Flores and Dan Long are engineers this evening. A huge thank you to Ashley Byhun tonight. We appreciate all your hard work. And thank you for joining us this evening. I hope you enjoyed our conversations this evening. And if that's the case, let the powers be here at WGN know that. Appreciate all the kind words. I'm Phil Minicky. John Records Landecker is back Monday night at 7 o'clock. Hey, look who's here. Our friend Dave Plyer. He is next. That's after an update from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here at 720 WGN.